Well, I'm just going to start recording because
okay,
it's getting late.
It is.
Hello and welcome back to Real Horror Show. I am your host, Samantha, and I am joined, as always, by 75 and just delightful outside.
It's cold here.
Is it still?
Yeah, it's cold. Hold up. Let me check my AccuWeather app.
It was like 75 today.
It's cold outside. I had to wear a jacket.
I didn't.
It's 58.
That's not bad.
Which is nowhere near 75, though. 75 would be better.
It'll get there eventually. Maybe you shouldn't have lived in Pennsylvania.
I just have always been here. But tomorrow it's gonna be 65 and rainy all day, and then 60 on Friday and rainy. And then 57 on Saturday, then 52 with a low of 30 on Sunday. So there's that to look forward to. That's just fucking great.
Sounds great. You know what else would be great?
What, Sam?
if the current climate continues going ignored and Earth dies, and in 400 years, a group of grad students accidentally uncover a serial killer and take him onto their spacecraft, and he murders all of them.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? That was so funny because when he was on, like, they were on Earth, I was like, are they on Earth? And they're like, yeah. Earth 1 is dead. We're going to Earth 2. And I'm like, okay. Earth 2.
Anyway, the movie we're discussing this week for our 30th episode and our 2-ish year anniversary, which is kind of sad that we're only now hitting 30 episodes when we've been around for 2 years.
Yeah, it seems a little low, but that's okay.
I mean, it's a little higher if you count the mini shows, but...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Main episodes. This is our 30th, yeah. And it took us... our lives were in chaos for about 6 months, I feel.
Yeah, they were. And then we were really busy, both of us together. We were really busy with things, especially last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then now... but I feel like we record often now, like you and I recording a lot.
Oh, yeah, now that we're like settled in our lives and have a schedule, shit's getting real.
Exactly. Yeah, shit's getting real. Yeah, because we have like a schedule and like a routine and stuff like that. So we're, yeah.
So anyway, Jason X is a 2001 science fiction slasher movie. The movie was conceived by Tom Farmer in an effort to push the series forward as Freddy vs. Jason was still in development hell. The movie was produced and directed by James Isaac and features Kane Hodder in his final appearance as Jason.
Nice.
And listen, when I say I want Jason, this is the stupid bullshit I want. Not Friday the 13th 3D through Jason Goes to Hell.
I saw Jason Goes to Hell and Jason Takes Manhattan, which I wish we watched instead.
Why? It's Jason on a boat, not Jason Takes Manhattan. And it's filmed in Vancouver.
That's why I like it so much, because although he takes Manhattan, he's on not just any boat, he's on a cruise ship to get to New York, which I don't know why that is. And then he's in Manhattan for like 2 seconds. But yeah.
No, Jason X is the crown jewel of the Friday the 13th series.
It is the crown jewel.
Because I don't know, I feel like after part 3, they didn't know what the fuck to do.
I know, it's so silly.
Like they never even sent Freddy to space, and that would have made more sense.
Yeah, I guess they didn't. They only sent, like, who went to
Leprechaun.
Space? Leprechaun went to space. Is that it?
Yeah.
The fuck?
And remember?
I just assumed everybody just did because Jason did, and I'm like, yeah, everybody went to space in one movie.
Michael,
guess not.
Michael Myers went to space.
He did?
No, he didn't. But you believed me for a second. So.
Yeah, but then I was about to go look at my box set. Be like, oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, H2O was set on a spaceship.
H2O was set in the ocean. That's why it's called H2O. Because he's swimming, 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 Jason. Just kidding. I drink a lot of water. What a dumb fucking name. Who thought of that? H2O. Oh, yeah, real clever. Like, oh, 20 years and Halloween. That's like, water?
Yeah, Halloween 2018 was so much better. I mean, yeah, it was called Halloween, but...
Yeah, I mean, that's all you really need to... It explains everything. Gets the message out.
It does.
Self-explanatory.
So, I guess let's get into it with the acting and performances. I'm 100% sure no one in this movie had long-lasting careers afterwards.
The only person I recognize as the black guy.
You read? Which one? Brodsky?
Sergeant.
Brodsky?
The one that's like ripped. Yes.
What else has he been in?
Bald. A ton of shit.
I did not recognize him at all. I called him...
I love him.
I called him Bargain Bin Samuel L. Jackson because I could just tell had this been a higher budget movie that people actually cared about, his role would have been played by Samuel L. Jackson.
Like he was in more stuff, look him up, but like I've seen him in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And he's been in TV shows. He's played a vampire.
He's in Spartacus, Texas, Midnight Texas.
Yeah, Midnight Texas, where he's a vampire.
300. Is Midnight Texas good? I assume you're watching it?
Nope.
Oh, okay. I'm going to start watching Stand Against Evil.
What's that?
It's like a comedy horror show from IFC.
Oh, Stan?
He was in The Incredible Hulk, the one Marvel movie we all forget exists.
Oh, The Incredible Hulk with like that one guy who's not Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, it's either Eric Bana or Ed Norton. I can't tell them apart.
Oh, shit.
I think it's Ed Norton.
Ed Norton.
Yeah, I think it's Ed Norton. I watched The Time Traveler's Wife last night, so I've got Eric Bana on my mind.
I keep forgetting that ever happened. How embarrassing. Edward Norton, what a great actor, and he's like, I guess I'll play like the Hulk.
Well, I mean,
skinny guy.
I don't get why they can't get a Hulk movie right. I think their biggest flaw was not realizing Mark Ruffalo was the right choice for Bruce Banner both times.
I know, they had like three different dudes before it was Mark Ruffalo,
right? Yeah,
I don't know, man. There's a lot of Hulk movies because there was like The Incredible Hulk and then one just called Hulk.
Yeah, we don't talk about that one.
Right? And that one, like one of them was, that one wasn't Edward Norton. It was like some other guy.
Yeah. It had Jennifer Connelly in it as his love interest. I know that much.
That's right. She's like been off the radar for a long time.
Oh, that's hilarious. Eric Bana played him in Hulk.
Yeah, you're right. You were right like 50%, but you had the wrong movie.
I still get Ed Norton and Eric Bana mixed up.
Ed Norton.
They're like two famous actors who you can't really name anything they've been in. I think Ed Norton was in Fight Club.
Yeah, he was in a ton of stuff. That's amazing.
Yeah, but do you really think of it as like, do you think of Fight Club as an Edward Norton movie or a Brad Pitt movie?
Think of it as a
movie.
No, I think of it as a David Fincher movie.
Yeah.
Because neither of them steal the spotlight. They're equal. I think of it as the movie where, I don't know. It's very strange, but there are a lot of movies with Edward Norton in it that I do consider Edward Norton movies.
Anyway, so Jason is about to be cryogenically frozen when shit hits the fan like it always does.
I don't know how she got so fucked up.
Yeah, the girl, Rowan, gets fucked up and accidentally cryogenically freezes herself along with Jason. And 400 years later, a bunch of grad students, the worst fucking thing imaginable, find them and take them into space.
And then they're like, hey, I know that she's been dead for 400 years, but like, since she's so, in such good condition, let's bring her back to life. I hope she'll be cool with that. And they wake her up and she's like, oh, okay, well, what year is it? And they're like, it's like 20, 155 or some shit, 2455. And then she's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, she adapted very well to the year 2445.
She's like, where are we? And they're like, oh, yeah, well, we're in space right now, and we're going to Earth 2 because Earth 1 is dead. And she's like, well, all right, that's fine. But, like, Jason is a problem. So it's like, listen, bitch, you didn't think you were dead? Don't people puke when they come out of the cryogenic stuff? I've seen that in space movies a lot.
IRL, we don't know what happens because I don't think anyone's come out of the cryogenic stuff yet. And anyway, they're all fucking dead.
Yes.
I don't know.
Oh, well, by the way, when she accidentally cryogenically freezes herself, it's because Jason stabs her with the sharpest knife of all time through the metal door. Mm-hmm. And I would also be pretty surprised because it's like, oh shit, I didn't know his machete was that strong. But it's like a fucking iron door and it just like stabs her through it. And I'm just like, all right, didn't expect that.
Todd Farmer based much of this film off of Alien.
Oh, I guess. Just the space part.
I'm reading the trivia on IMDb since I was cooking during the first half of this movie, so all my notes are in my head.
All my notes are on this paper right here. I was like, fuck it, I'm in a rush.
Let's see.
No time to type.
Since we're talking about acting, here's a note on acting. Because Jim Isaac wanted the acting in his film to blow every other Friday movie out of the water, the associate producer videotaped the rehearsals on camcorder for Isaac, who would review them afterward and get ideas from seeing his actors in action. The problem was, with all the script rewrites, a lot of the time, Isaac didn't even know if the actors were rehearsing was still in the movie. Most of it wasn't.
So he's like, God damn, I've been watching these camcorder tapes for no reason. Who's in this damn movie? You know who is in this movie randomly? David Cronenberg makes a cameo appearance in the beginning. He is the old doctor named Dr. like Brenner, and he's the one that wants to take him to the Scranton lab, but he gets like a thing, like a spear thrown into him and through his back.
Sorry, I'm just
and horror fans know that David Cronenberg directed The Fly and among other horror movies, so yeah, there's some trivia.
Yeah, fucking nerds know that. And this was Kane.
Yeah, only cool people know that.
This was Kane Hodder's final appearance as Jason. As we all know, and it was controversial that Ken Kurzinger assumed the role for Freddy vs. Jason, and then Derek Mears took the role for Friday the 13th, 2009. I almost said 2009.
It's the year 2009. Well, my favorite version of Jason is going to have to be the one from Freddy vs. Jason because he's so fucking
tall. And that's the only reason Ken Kurzinger took the role was because Ang Lee, I think that's who directed it. No, that's the guy who did Brokeback Mountain.
Whoa.
I mean, they're both
very different
Asian males. Only one of them has an Oscar, though.
Yes.
But the only reason he cast someone else was because he wanted Jason to be, like, giant, and Kane Hodder is only very bulky.
He's only 6'4". Yeah, I looked it up.
He's only very bulky, so they needed someone taller. And I get why horror fans were upset for him, because he was the one really pushing for Freddy versus Jason to get made during all of its development hell. And then they kind of just say, we're going to go with this new guy. You're too short.
You're bigger. Too short. Yeah, you're too short and like husky. Kane Hodder's like getting pretty old, isn't he?
Yeah.
I looked at his picture. He looks like he's pretty old.
He's getting up there.
Can't keep this up forever.
And you know,
man,
what else is very ironic right now? Yeah, he's 65, girl. Is that
old
Jason in Space was only made because Freddy versus Jason was in development hell, and now the whole Friday the 13th series is in development hell because of this whole copyright lawsuit thing going on.
Yeah, I keep hearing about that. What is going on with that?
I think, let me look it up.
Give me
I think it
scoop.
Has something to do with the original screenwriter or the person who came up with the concept wanting back his rights to the franchise, and it's holding everything up, especially in regards to the game. Like, there's been no new content for Friday the 13th game. Lawsuit.
Ah, yes, the game.
Okay. What you need to know about the Friday the 13th lawsuit from Rue Morgue.
Yes.
Shout out Rue Morgue. Yes.
Hi, Rue Morgue.
Let's see. News broke last week regarding Victor Miller, who wrote the screenplay for the original film, stating that he filed motions back as far as 2016 to reclaim the rights. This is where things get a little hazy and mixed up. The popular assumption seems to be that Victor Miller has suddenly decided to sue to steal rights to the franchise. Because of the 1976 Copyright Act, artists have the ability to challenge for those rights to work they may have sold off after 35 years, as artists typically have no leverage when initially licensing their property to big money studios. This provision gives them a second chance to negotiate for a better deal after fully measuring the scope of the work's success. At the time, Miller was only paid $10,000 for his Friday the 13th screenplay, yet the film went on to gross almost $40 million at the box office, or $130 million in 2018 dollars. So, I guess because he can now reclaim the rights, he's trying to do that to get fairly compensated for how well the franchise has done. And because of that, everything Friday the 13th has been halted. It's a shame this wasn't going on when we were in copyright class.
I know, right? What a cool thing we would be able to discuss that wasn't such a fucking bore.
I liked it.
You liked
copyright class?
I found the case studies to be quite dull.
Maybe someday I'll even go back to school and become a copyright lawyer.
Cool. Just like our professor who had like migraines every day. Poor dude.
I can't imagine getting chronic migraines. I get them occasionally and I just want to die.
Yeah, but he was a good dude. He was a good professor.
Unlike Alphonse.
Oh, who is Alphonse even? Was he a real professor or an imposter? Honestly,
it's only fitting for our 2-year anniversary show to bring up Alphonse.
Alphonse, what a punk. Oh, I lost my suitcase in Scotland.
Why the fuck was your laptop in your goddamn check-in luggage?
Fool, it's not supposed to be in there.
Mister, I'm going to grade you harder since you want this podcast to be a real thing. And yet he didn't grade anything. We never got feedback on our final products. And the feedback...
And the feedback
he gave us was copy and pasted to every single person.
Oh my god. What did I even do for his class? I don't remember. Do you remember?
You started Postcard Press. Because we took...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We each had a thing to do. Because Nicole didn't have him, right?
So we took advantage of the class to actually get our IPs started. Otherwise, we never would have started this. Listen, I'm being for shizzle right now.
That was the realest time of our lives. The hustle was real, and now like our projects are ongoing. Like a little mosquito trying to like get in the window.
So, shouts out Alphonse if you're listening. Fucking tool.
Alphonse doesn't listen because he lost his laptop and he'll never get a new one.
Anyway, let's move on to story, since acting there's nothing to talk about.
Honestly, nothing at all. Except for their atrocious script. Ugh. Do people talk like that in the future?
Listen,
hang on. Let's have a small discussion about slang in the future. Okay, the couple that say like, "Hey, baby," like, do you still say that to your significant other in 2455?
I don't know. What would you call your significant other in 2455?
Nobody says like "baby" now, right?
I say "baby" when I'm talking to David.
Yeah. But not baby.
It probably depends on the relationship, like it does now. Like in a weird, creepy relationship dynamic relations. I'm pretty sure the guys call their girls, "Hey, baby."
"Hey, baby."
And then
"BB."
I call Sam BB, like the letters.
Yeah, you call me baby, so.
Which is an abbreviation for baby. But that's okay. But I just find it, like, weird because, I don't know, because it's a movie, I think, and I just find it weird. I'm like, if they're trying to be futuristic, they better, like, get super futuristic. What do you think about their futuristic fashion and their attire?
It's still so early 2000s.
Everybody has, like, belly shirts, so you could tell it's... It just left 1999 and went right into 2001.
And also, let's discuss the heteronormativity of the year 2455. Not a single gay person on that ship.
No one's gay. I know. No one's gay. No one's trans because, you know, I guess. I'm surprised there's a black person. There's two. That's it.
I mean, I guess you could consider the android genderless because she doesn't have nipples, but she's still made to be female.
But she's made to be female, and she somehow has, like, feelings for the guy, and they kiss.
Pretty sure he programmed.
So pretty sure anyway, he programmed her to be like that. Yeah, she doesn't have nips. That's right. They've tried to put the things on there. That's such a weird thing. But it's funny.
They had to get some tit shot in.
They did at the end.
Yeah, but you...
Whenever Jason's
in a,
like,
movie this bad, you gotta have at least three pairs of boobs.
And there are, like, two and a half. What about whenever the couple, like, is trying to, like, fuck, but they're, like, at work? It's like, stop. You're at work. You're in the lab.
They're graduate students. Don't you remember when we were graduate students? It was...
We were just graduate students, and we were, like, grown-ass adults.
And it was so sex, mature. Sex, sex, all the time.
All the time. That's
our,
all we
our classes
about
were just group orgies.
In class. And then our professor would get frustrated and be like, you know what, just leave. I could take care of this myself. Okay, are you sure? Thanks. It's like, what the fuck? That was just that. It was just weird and dumb. Anyway, yeah, I think that's all I have to say about any acting.
David Cronenberg's cameo was done as a favor.
Cronenberg's
cameo was done as a favor to his former protege Jim Isaac for loaning his Canadian-based production crew to him in exchange. He wanted to get killed on screen.
And he did. He was, like, the last dude to be killed in the lab before everybody froze. David Cronenberg. I love that. I'm going to change my Twitter name to David Cronenberg.
I'm sorry I was doing a live read and just inserted extra letters.
That was the best one. All right. Well, that's very nice of him to do that.
It was.
I'll let you have my crew in return. I would like to be in the movie, be the head scientist, and be killed on screen. So, okay.
Another little note about acting, the professor, he was the voice actor of Link in the 1980s Legend of Zelda cartoon.
Yeah. What?
Did Link even talk? In the show he did.
I guess he did. I was like, does he say anything in the game?
Let's see.
I don't know. That's weird. The one that was, like, fucking the student. The fuck? We could do without that.
I mean, I didn't believe those were graduate students because they weren't prowling around for free food like we used to.
I know.
Like, at our grad school, sometimes there would be an event earlier in the day in our building, so they would just leave their food there for us to eat.
Yes, and it would be, like, 3 hours old, but we didn't care.
I mean,
sometimes there'd be
really good guac.
Yeah, oh my god, yeah, guac or salsa. sometimes little treats, like little, I don't know, brownies and shit.
Remember when I was going through like that really tough time in my life where I had just been fired from my temp position, and I just stole that entire veggie tray and took it home with me?
Yes, I do remember that. And remember that one time you like took an apple or a pear and you were like, this is an apple or is it a pear?
That pear really fucked me up.
And I bit it and
that
it was
pear
a pear.
Really fucked me up because it looked just like an apple.
It did. And you were like, what is it? I can't know. And I was like, I'll check. And I ate it. I ate like a bite of it. And I was like, it's a pear.
Good times. I miss school. Nice.
Good time. I loved that every single class we had was in the same exact classroom every time. And we sat in the same chairs. And the three of us are always in the front.
Yeah. Excuse me. Okay, story. This arguably has the best story of any Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, I think it might just because it's so interesting and futuristic. Look,
Jason was getting pretty redundant after the fifth movie. That's why they had to bring in the psychic girl and have her beat him up once.
Her beat him up once, yeah.
But they find Jason and Rowan and bring them on board. And because of the premarital sex everyone is having, Jason comes back to life. So remember that, you sinners. Whenever...
Yeah,
remember, when you have premarital sex, Jason Voorhees comes back to life and kills 28 people.
Or any serial killer for that matter. Because they can
smell
it.
I don't think Freddy gives too many fucks about premarital sex.
The only reason I bring that up is because it's a slasher trope. So I just generalize masked men with knives. They'll kill you because you have sex.
It's true.
That's your punishment. Premarital sex. Anything, even if you are half naked, even if you talk about it, you'll just die. Just don't talk about it.
So speaking of premarital sex, to make dinner tonight, I had to uncase some Italian sausages. And I don't know if you've ever uncased a sausage before, but it's very similar to removing a condom from a penis.
Oh, God, gross. Yeah, because I guess it's in like, what, like a... like a thin layer of like plastic.
It's, for sausage, it's like a thin layer of membrane.
Like wax.
Because it's the casing around the sausage. You're able to eat that. It's just for what I was doing, I didn't want sausage links. I wanted sausage crumble. So I had to remove that casing.
Okay.
It was gross.
Cool.
Oddly satisfying.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Anyway, so Jason comes back to life and starts killing everybody on board. And you get to see some of the wacky things they have in the future. Like video game simulations, which doesn't make any goddamn sense to me because they're not real people yet. Jason was able to quote unquote kill them with his machete. Wouldn't they just be holograms?
Yeah, they would be holograms, but he killed their like physical bodies.
Well, he did that.
But how did he see them if he wasn't wearing any glasses to see them in the game?
And then he actually kills them and it's all good.
Yeah, but like, you know what? I didn't even think about that.
Like they're not like actual entities.
I just let that one fly.
It would just go through them.
I know. It's just a fucking hallucination, but it's not.
Bless Jesus you. Christ, Luke.
I don't know why it sounds so loud. He's not that close to me. He's like across the room. This is a really powerful microphone, so let's turn the volume down a little bit. Anyway, what else happens?
Rowan adjusts perfectly fine to the future.
Does, which is totally not realistic. I'd
one
freak
girl-
out.
One girl's boyfriend is murdered and she's like traumatized for the rest of the movie and like thank God when she dies because she's so annoying.
Yeah. I know she killed herself, but she like ruined everything because she like killed herself in the like space shuttle thing that was like supposed to be what they were going to escape out of, but she broke everything and it exploded. So they were fucked.
Because she was dead.
And anyway, let's skip to the most important part of this movie when the fucking robot chick kicks Jason's ass.
Oh, yeah, because she turns into like a dominatrix robot chick. Wait, okay, hold up. Hold up now. Whenever she comes in like that and they're like, oh, wow. And then the dude who like made her was like, I gave her an upload. And I was like, an upload? You mean like an update?
I didn't even notice that.
They fucked that one up a little bit because in 2002/2001, they didn't fucking know what an update was. It's called an upload. And I was like, that's actually like not what that word means at all. Oh, Lord, they really fucked that one up. It was real embarrassing. I was embarrassed for the guy that delivered that line.
Speaking of the guys, all the guys in this movie look exactly the same.
They do, except for the black guys. But the one black dude has this weird tank top on, and it's like not futuristic. It just looks lame.
Yeah, they didn't really think about what the future would look like clothing-wise.
No. There's no way people would be into that. In the future, apparently, there is a thing that happened called, like, the Microsoft something. And I was like, is Microsoft even relevant anymore, you guys?
David was watching the last 45 minutes with me, and he lost his shit at that line.
Because I was like, Microsoft? I haven't heard that word.
Shut up. Microsoft is still fucking relevant. Yes, you're just trying to be edgy.
I don't have a Microsoft computer.
Yeah, you have a MacBook.
Yeah, yes. Is there Microsoft stuff on?
Do you have Office? What
the fuck?
That's Microsoft. Yep.
Yeah, oh yeah, you're right.
Microsoft is still like the leading software engineer.
You know what? You're right.
What was it called? Conflict. Like the Microsoft, like.
Which.
Conflict. Yeah, I was like,
dated this movie not because of Microsoft, but because it would have been the Microsoft conflict. Because in reality, it would have been the Amazon conflict when we get to that point. But Amazon was still a wee baby. It hadn't become this monster that it is today.
Exactly. So
I thought that dated the movie in terms of like where the conflict would lie.
Yeah. And they shouldn't name drop in movies that they want
to
set.
Yeah, like
in
how the Bratz movie was all about how many MySpace friends she had.
Right. Now look
Speaking
at MySpace.
Speaking of heteronormative racist movies, everybody should check out Bratz, the movie.
Yeah. I'm sure that's a.
It
kind
is.
Of light.
I never imagine High School myself, Musical, but without the catchy songs.
Never saw High School Musical either.
Cool.
I just didn't feel comfortable watching children's movies.
You were a children when it came out.
I were a children. No, I'm like 15 years older than
That's
you
true.
Somehow.
That's true. But you were probably just slightly too old for it when I was in the target age range.
Yeah, you're probably right. But anyway, that's neither here nor there because we already discussed that. So we have to move on to the fact that someone is wearing a cross in this movie.
Oh,
do they
my
have
God.
Religion in the
I
future?
Can't believe you pointed that out because David pointed it out too.
Did you notice that? It was like hanging off the one dude's neck and he like ended up dying. And I was like, huh, do they have religion in 21 or 20?
No, David said we should discuss the symbolism of that because he's wearing a cross, yet God had forsaken him in that moment.
Yeah, that too. So maybe I don't even know if that was actually meant to be symbolism or like the actor forgot to like take off his personal jewelry before filming this
shot. Obviously their vision for future clothing is some weird like mixture of punk and I don't know, slutty.
cyberpunk? Yes, punk and like everyone's bellies out and shit. Yeah, slutty because like all the chicks' boobs are like half out. And the dudes just like wear stupid outfits that look dumb. Yeah. So I don't know.
So it was probably his or if there isn't religion in 2455, he was wearing it because it's like vintage and ironic.
Ooh, yeah, you're probably right. They do mention DVDs too and how those are like vintagey and like worth Jesus a lot of Christ. Money.
Meanwhile, like who even collects DVDs anymore? I do, but who am I? I'm fucking irrelevant.
I'd like to collect certain DVDs. Like I won't get rid of my Saw DVD collection because they're too unique.
Sorry. I want to have a decent DVD collection so we pick up stuff from Goodwill when we see it. And speaking of Goodwill, it crossed my mind that they're basically a video rental store because you can buy a DVD for $2 and then just re-donate it once you're finished watching it. I'd be lying if I said I haven't done that.
Right.
Okay, so after Jason dies, he is then remade by symbiotes. I don't think that's what they're actually called.
Fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, like the special things that regenerate yourself.
And he becomes Uber Jason. He becomes Uber Jason.
What?
Pay attention to this podcast.
I'm sorry. Yes, he does become Uber Jason, which is some bullshit because no one turned the machine on.
Podcast, you don't even pay attention to me.
Whatever, Sam. I'm just over your emotions. Such an emotional roller coaster you are.
Jason comes after them again, rips off the android girl's head, which is hilarious. And to distract him from killing them further, they create the virtual 80s. And that simulation was supposed to be much more detailed. Let's see. Including a number of topless women playing volleyball. One idea even included an appearance of Pamela Voorhees, Jason's mother, and even went so far as to have Jason attack her, showing the extent of just how evil he had become. The latter idea was regretfully dropped when Betsy Palmer turned down the role. Which, honestly, I'm sorry, horror fans. You don't need Betsy Palmer to play Jason's mother, even though she is his mother, because she didn't come back and do Freddy versus Jason.
Exactly, she didn't. So, you know, it's whatever. I was already over her, and she, you know, she died in the first movie. So, like, good night. Good night. I wasn't really a huge fan of the fact that Jason's mom was the killer in the original Friday the 13th. Oh, how surprising.
I like that twist.
I never liked Mrs. Voorhees.
Just gonna let the silence carry us over to the next section. Nothing. Jason murders 28 people more than any other Friday the 13th movie. Yeah.
28?
There weren't even that many people counting, in the movie. The Solaris blowing up.
Oh. Oh, yeah. The other people that were there to save them.
In the death count. The only person not directly killed was Kenza. She instead dies when she tries to abandon the rest of the survivors on the escape shuttle, but forgets to detach from the Grendel and accidentally crashes it.
I don't think she forgets. I think she wants to die.
I think we can leave that up for interpretation. She's in a state of mind.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, well, according to Todd Farmer, he joked that there were probably 20,000 people aboard the Solaris space station when it crashed into it.
Oh, I see. I see now. That's still, yeah, that's That's a lot, I guess. The Solaris. At first when they said they were going to, like, the Solaris, I was like, the sun? But I was like, no, they're going to Earth 2.
Hmm.
But then they do go to Earth 2, and there are people there who are, like, camping. And I was like, do they have camping in the future?
I mean, yes. What do you think the future is going to be?
No fucking... I don't know, man. I can't say, because back then we thought the future was going to look like that, and it doesn't yet. So I don't know. I mean, what year is the original Blade Runner set in? Like 2012 or some shit? And it's like not even like that at all. And they really overshot it.
Nobody really knew what anything would be like.
Goddamn wasteland. Yeah. So I can't know.
So in 2010, this is just a fun fact. Mythbusters actually tested out Jason's liquid nitrogen head smash kill.
Oh, that was probably apparently my favorite kill in the whole movie.
Someone like that.
Yikes. Really? Their face doesn't freeze and then you can't smash it and it turns into blood ice cubes?
Yeah, I don't think that can actually happen.
Damn. Lame.
Lame as hell. All
right. All let's go ahead and move.
Jason doesn't need money. He needs to kill.
You're right.
Except he was trying to offer him like money. And I was like, Jason doesn't need money.
But what if that really was all he wanted? What if like all he ever wanted was reparations from Camp Crystal Lake for letting him drown?
Yeah, because he wanted like his settlement. He's like, I just want to live comfortably, man. I'll kill anybody who gets in my way of living comfortably. But no, he doesn't want. Oh, Uber Jason's like eyes are too scary. I'm freaked out because it's two eyes instead of just one. So you said just the one.
Well, he's.
I think they're too close together.
He was always slightly deformed. What if instead of really scary looking, since Jason was born deformed, he just became very handsome and beautiful and no longer wanted to kill?
Very handsome and no longer wanted to kill. And he's like, and he talked and he's like, I'm
sorry. I was always just so insecure. He's also British now. I was always so insecure just had to get my rage out.
Like this British now. I'm sorry it took from night the 70s all the way to 25, 24, 55.
The door's open and instead of Uber Jason, it's Eric Bana standing there.
And we're like, Jason, you got shorter. And he's like,
yes, I am done.
Let's go home, everyone.
I am done being
Let's go home. Oh, we can't go. And then what if they told him about like Earth being dead and then he like freaked out and it like traumatized him and he started again?
I can't go home. I gotta go back to Crystal Lake.
Well, Earth 1 is dead.
What?
I think that would have been a much better movie.
And he like can't control himself and he starts like punching holes in the wall and then people get like sucked out because of the space, like the force of like the space, like the suction force.
That sucks. Speaking of Uber Jason, I'm reading this bit of trivia. Jason being blasted to pieces and reanimating into Uber Jason was meant to be a plot twist revealed in the third act. However, all the marketing and trailers immediately spoiled this fact. And even the theatrical poster gives it away. Like, that really has been frustrating for me.
God damn it.
Just looking at marketing campaigns for movies when something would have been a really awesome twist and they give it away in the trailers and use it. The prime example I give, even though you don't really care about superhero movies and I don't care about DC movies, is Batman versus Superman, how Wonder Woman comes in at the end. She does. And I keep thinking how much better that reveal would have been had they not used her in any of the marketing materials. They just kept it under wraps.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, production value of this was very cheap. You could have told me this was a made-for-TV movie and I would have believed you.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. God, yeah, it shows budget, small budget, made for TV movie. I don't think, what else do I have to say about anything? Okay, wait, there's some weird inconsistencies. Like, first of all, the one guy knows who Jason is. He's mm-hmm. the one who, like, he calls on, like, his little, like, Skype thing. And he's like, yeah, it's Jason Voorhees. Like, duh. Remember he killed, like, 200 people, like, in the past? And I was like, if it's, like, 400 years later, do they really, like, know that still about him?
No, I feel like in 2055, like, 2455, they would have moved past serial killer obsessions.
Right? Wouldn't they have had just, like, another serial killer, which was, like, worse to focus on? But that guy was like, that's Jason
At this point,
Voorhees,
they've discovered alien life and like, have moved to a completely new planet. Why would they give a shit about it?
Right. He really gives a shit about it. And then like the one guy, like later on, he talks to the guy and the guy says it's Jason Voorhees. And then in like a couple scenes later, he's talking to a girl and she's like, who is that? And he's like, I don't know who Jason is. And it's like, what the fuck? Your friend just explained the whole thing to you. Did you forget? I don't know. It was just a weird inconsistency.
I was telling David that this is probably a first draft. Like, they just immediately got the script and made a new movie.
Yeah, I agree. they just got a script and they just kind of, like, did it on the fly. Oh, man.
Anything else of value to add to this thrilling and yawning discussion?
I think... No, I honestly, I didn't take too many notes, so I just, that's all I had to say. I didn't Very write anything fair. Else of note at all.
Very fair. All right, you want to do the end?
Yep.
All right.
Yes, I will do it. All right, cool. Okay, well... Real Horror Show was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed by Sam Odie. What did we learn today, Sam, about Jason X?
It doesn't make sense, but it's awesome.
Yes. Don't, like, reanimate people just because they're frozen. All right. Like what you hear, you can find Real Horror Show on Spotify, TuneIn, Google Play Store, Stitcher, and iTunes. Really, really like what you hear? Follow us on Twitter at horrorshow_pod or search for Real Horror Show on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at Real Horror Show. Like our page and share our stuff. We also have a website that all of our written reviews and podcasts can be found, realhorrorshow.com. Want to interact with us? Want to make sure we're real humans and not space vampires? Comment on our website or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Want to argue with us about something, or do you think you have a really great horror movie review that you're dying to share with two random strangers from the internet? Submissions are open for movie reviews, so check out the submit page on our website and follow the rubric before sending us anything. If it's not done according to the rubric, it will be disregarded. Sorry, not sorry. We don't post reviews anymore, I'm sorry. But we love horror, and if you're listening, you do too. Please help us keep our project going by visiting our support page on our website, where you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. We also have an Amazon wish list if you feel like buying us anything, if you wanted to buy us stuff and buy us a coffee. Submissions are open for our yearly anthology called the October Monologues. Check out the submission guidelines on our website and send us your creepy shit. Any other pertinent news?
I don't think so.
Didn't have any. But our intro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Colton.
Boy.
And thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening. Boy.
I love it.